Luke 23, 39 through 43. One of the criminals was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So just as Greg read, this is the second statement that Jesus made from the cross. And it's about the same thing, forgiveness. The two criminals on each side of our Lord were the last ones to have a chance to speak to him. And each one wanted something different from him. But they had entirely separate responses to who Jesus really was. Their true hearts and motives were evident in the brief words that each of them spoke. The first one, full of Satan's venom, mocked him with the same perverse abuse as those who sarcastically called him a king and put the crown of thorns on his head. He taunted Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, then save yourself and us." If anything, that thief only wanted to have Jesus get him off that cross to continue on with his life. But the penitent criminal replied, "Don't you fear God," expressing that Jesus was innocent and they were indeed getting just punishment. So here we see being played out in this drama the ultimate question that every human being on this planet must answer. What will we do with Jesus? What will we do with the cross? We are all as guilty of the thieves as Romans 3 says. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The one thief, hardened and cold, rejects the Lord and even worse, spews out hate at him. The other, seemingly in full recognition of his Messiah, humbly cries out, excuse me, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This one, who had probably lived in rebellion and overt sin for years, sees his wrongdoing and pleads for both forgiveness and eternal life in that one statement. And Jesus responds to him with absolute certainty, today he would be with him in paradise. It is the final word that declares to all of us that it is never too late to receive eternal life. How God relentlessly pursues us even until our last breath. It is the final evidence that we are saved purely by faith. Ephesians 2 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." This dying thief grasped his desperate need for a Savior. And in Jesus' answer, we know for certain that our salvation and our eternal life with him comes instantaneously when we confess our need by faith. This thief believed he had no days or years left to serve God or do any good works. It is a portrait of God's great infinite mercy and grace. When we awaken to our hopeless fallen nature and our own ability to in any way cure the sin problem, and then we come to the cross and we are transformed forever into new creations in Christ. Now we must lay hold of our new DNA and walk in the inexpressible joy of that miracle of how much God loves us. The penitent thief is released from every bondage and his guilty past. Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." This week, as I was pondering all this, I was driving down the freeway, and there in clear view on the side of a hill in Laguna Niguel stood three huge crosses. And I wondered about the thousands and thousands of cars and all the people who looked upon them during the weeks and months preceding Easter. What did they think when they saw those crosses? Everyone here knows the story and knows what happened on Calvary's Hill over 2,000 years ago. Which of the two thieves' reactions did they have as they rushed by in the busyness of their lives? 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Fleming Rutledge, in her new book, The Crucifixion, says, although our culture becomes more and more cynical and unshockable, we, however, find it more and more difficult to close our eyes to the reality of violence and evil that we see exponentially increasing around us. There is something sickening in human nature, and it corresponds to the hideousness of the crucifixion. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave himself up for us on that cross of Calvary, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever beckoning us and calling to us. I pray that we have greater revelation of that more and more, and that in all, each of our days ahead, we can lead many lost into that kingdom that the thief cried out for. In Jesus' name, amen.